to us. How long has this been happening? That's how the New American Standard Bible translates verse 21. In the NIV, how long has he been like this? I like the story of Herbert Jackson. Herbert Jackson was a missionary who was on the mission field for a number of years. And when he got to the mission field, he was handed a set of car keys and told that the car he had a problem. It didn't like to start. So the missionary before Herbert Jackson explained the situation and gave him one or two hints. And Herbert Jackson, if ever he went to a school, got permission for pupils to come out of the school and give him a push start. If he wasn't going to a school, he always made sure he parked on a hill so he could get a rolling start and get the motor running. For 2 years, Herbert Jackson followed that procedure. But he got ill, and it was time for him to return home. And so a new missionary went out to the mission field. And Herbert Jackson duly handed over the keys and explained the problem of the car not starting. Don't worry, he said, if you go to a school, the pupils will come out and push you. Failing that, always park on a hill and you'll be okay. The new missionary just said, look, pop the bonnet. Pop the bonnet. So he popped the bonnet. He told Herbert Jackson to turn the engine. Instantly it started. The new missionary said, look, come and have a look. All that's wrong with this car is that lead is loose. If you tighten the lead, it will start every time. If you want the power, make sure there's a good connection. Now, the disciples of Jesus in the past had known a good connection. They had known power. In fact, earlier in Mark 6, verse 6 to 7, we're told that they went around village to village. Jesus sent them out. He gave them authority over impure spirits. Goes on to say, they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. They had a successful healing exorcism ministry. They'd experienced God at work in a supernatural way. People were healed, demons cast out, but in this particular instant, powerless. Unable to help one single boy with the problems he was facing. Let's just divide it up under a number of headings. The first one I want to use is this. Cause of failure, prayer ignored. Cause of failure, prayer ignored. If you look at verse 14 to 16, there is actual quarrelling in the crowd. When they came to the other disciples. Who are they? Peter, James and John. Why weren't they with the other nine? Because they'd been on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus taught these three disciples to experience him in a deeper way. When they returned, the other nine are arguing. Can you imagine the contrast? The peace of the mountaintop. Having a glimpse of Jesus in all his glory. And then coming back down to an argument. Not only is there an argument, a scene of chaos, there is a distraught father and an afflicted son. And Jesus looked around and the embarrassed disciples could not help. Verse 19 says, Jesus called them an unbelieving generation. Why? Because prayer was ignored. Verse 17 to 18, there is a discussion of the problem. It all centres around this demonic possession. Luke in his gospel adds one or two extra details, but he's a doctor, you probably expect that. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 39, he adds the fact that when the spirit seizes him, he suddenly screams, throws him into convulsions, he foams at the mouth, it scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. He goes on to say, it is the Father's only son, possibly his only child. And when you add that to the picture, anyone who ever sees their children ill or ill to this extreme is going to be concerned. But when it's the only child, the pain is there in a greater sense. Jesus comes back and he puts his finger right on the spot. What's the problem? You fail to pray. You're trying to remedy the situation in your own strength and your own power. Now, I'm sure they had prayed. I'm sure they had the right terminology. We do it in Jesus' name. But they were powerless. And the principle here is that you cannot have victory in public if you are not vigilant in private. You cannot have victory in public if you are not vigilant in private. And we all say our prayers to one degree or another. But at what level? But at what level? There's an older kids hymn I was looking for it earlier, but I couldn't remember what it was, which goes something like, I often say my prayers, but do I really pray? And we can have the formula, we can have the words, but we can lose the meaning and the reality. And I think the disciples had got so confident in their ability of having seen God work, they kind of thought they could do it at the click of a finger. And they got less and less dependent on the Lord. And when they went into battle, they suddenly found that their guns weren't loaded, their battery was flat, they were powerless in that situation. So situation number one, cause of failure, prayer ignored. And you and I ought to remember that without him we can do nothing. We need to depend on him day by day. Here's the second heading. Result of failure, power obstructed. Result of failure, power obstructed. See, their failure affected their faith in at least two ways. First of all, they failed in their witness. Verse 14. The crowd around them and the teachers of the law are all arguing and they've got nothing to say that is positive or helpful. They're just looked at as failures. People who ought to be able to do something but are powerless to act. What is the point of miracles? Well, of course it was to give relief to people, but actually that was the secondary purpose. The main point of miracles were to be signposts, to help people wonder and question, why can they do this? In whose authority are they doing it? And the miracles that the disciples did and the miracles Jesus did were to point beyond to the one who did them. They were signs and wonders to cause people to say, surely this is the Messiah. Don't stop at the miracle, that's the signpost. Move on to the one they're talking about. But these have got no message to say because they're powerless. So instead of the crowd eagerly awaiting and for the Messiah to come and eagerly waiting for pearls of wisdom to fall from his lips, all they're doing is arguing. And instead of helping them in their faith, the disciples are actually stumbling them. Why? Because they failed to pray. So they failed in their witness, and then verse 18, they failed in their effectiveness. The end of verse 18 says, but they could not. But they could not. Don't know if you've checked your shopping lately, but there's a good chance are, if you do, you'll get depressed. Because whether you realise it or not, you're being sold short. According to various sources, instead of putting prices up, they've kept prices at the same level, they've just reduced the content. So, for example, a well-known soap that once held 61 ounces now only contains 55 ounces in the same box. A well-known toilet paper used to give you 261 sheets per roll. Now you're only getting 241. And people aren't realising it, that they're being sold short. They think they're getting the real deal, but actually they're getting less for their money. Now, like those products, these disciples were sadly selling the people short. Not intentionally, they wanted to help, but they could not help. They were ineffective in their ministry. Why? Because they were acting in their own strength, in their own power. They'd become self-sufficient. And foolish is the Christian who lives an independent life of Jesus. And we all do it at times, because we get to a certain stage where everything is comfortable and we don't need to call upon the Lord. We can handle it. It was A.W. Tozer who said years ago, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we would do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been drawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everyone would know the difference. How true that is. How powerful that is. If God removed his Holy Spirit from Duncan Road, how much of our activities would go on? And we wouldn't know any different. Now, they weren't intentionally not wanting to help, but they could not. Their power was obstructed. And then third and finally, well, what's the cure for failure? What's the cure for failure? Priority needs to be given. Priority needs to be given. And that's verses 17 to 27. The problem, evil spirits or demon possession. In the Gospels, Jesus often encountered people who were possessed. Often a person behaved in a way that was very unnatural, like this young man. And there are cases in the Gospels of people who became violent, people who had physical symptoms, aggressive fits. Sometimes in the Gospels, people who were possessed spoke in different voices. And some displayed powers of clairvoyance. The signs were different in different situations. Now, in the ancient world, people often assumed mental illness was demon possession. I don't think Jesus did. The Gospels distinct from demon possession to those who are physically ill. There's a big distinction there. The fact that today in our culture, we tend not to dwell on demon possession. Some churches do. They seem to find a demon under every stone, don't they? Someone sneezes, you've got the demon of a germ, and it needs to be cast out. In our type of churches and in our culture, we tend not to make a lot of demonology. Certainly people abroad and in the mission field and in what we might call third world countries in India and Africa experience demonology in a big form. But I suppose they're dealing with people who are in pagan religions, Eastern religions, where people open up their mind and allow all sorts of influences to take control. Whereas in our world, the idols that hold on to people tend to be idols of materialism and other such idols. But demons are real. And if we're foolish enough to dabble in the occult, if we're foolish enough to get into alternative religions and open up our mind and drop our guard, then many in this country as well will be possessed. Just as we finish, what does this tell us about evil spirits? Well, a number of things. Verse 17. Evil spirits can possess people. Now, I would suggest they can't possess us unless we choose to let them. We have to open up our mind, dabble in the occult, dabble in alternative religions, dabble in various practices. But evil spirits possess people. Secondly, verse 7 tells us evil spirits need a body to carry out their wicked schemes. And in the Gospels, demons were either in people or in animals. They didn't float around as entities without bodies. They needed a body to indwell. And on occasions when Jesus cast out a demon from an individual, he put it into a pig or an animal. Demons need a body. Thirdly, verse 25 would suggest that the very name evil spirits tells us they are harmful. Their job is to pollute and to destroy. Fourthly, verse 20 tells us evil spirits know who Jesus is. They are aware of his deity. The crowd wasn't aware of who Jesus was, but the evil spirits were. And verse 25 tells us that evil spirits respond to the authority of Jesus Christ. So when we operate, it must be in his name and his power that we defend ourselves. And then the sixth thing we learn about evil spirits, again, verse 25, they will depart when they are commanded to. But often in departing, there may be a struggle. Some will go instantly, some there is a struggle. In fact, Jesus said elsewhere, some require times of prayer and fasting for an individual to be free. What's the solution? It's very simple. Involve Jesus. You cannot deal with spiritual things in your own power. The solution is to involve Jesus. We see that in the story. Verse 15, the people saw Jesus. Verse 17, the father came to Jesus. Verse 20, so they brought the son to Jesus. See, the disciples had been operating in their own strength without the power of Jesus. They failed. But as soon as they involve Jesus, solution. They have the power again to give freedom to this man. And they say in verse 28, why couldn't we? And Jesus said, because you didn't pray. You didn't depend on me. And as John said elsewhere, without me, you can do nothing. But with me, all things are possible. May we be those who depend upon the God, depend upon the Lord Jesus, not in our own gifts, our own talents, our own experience, but may we daily depend upon the Lord and experience his power in times of warfare, because on our own, we're not going to achieve much. Let's pray.